This time on IFAF.
Idaho Falls and Four Leaf Clovers.
You're at a 10. I need you to be at a 2.
It was actually very innocent. Like, literally, it was a Pi Day celebration. We ate pie.
We'll have our vibrators with us. It'll be fantastic. Just a great time.
It was a really awkward time. And, like, looking back, I realized what a freaking dork I was.
You've got your big boy panties on right now, if you're listening to us.
IFAF, Idaho Falls Infotainment Talk Show with Mike Nelson and Carly Morgan.
Coming up on the show, Oscar winners, our Girl Scout conundrum figured out, Idaho Falls farmers market expands even more, Pierce Brosnan's fine, a new form of currency that might be handy in a post-apocalyptic society, and vibrators.
Because why wouldn't we?
All right, phones on D&D. Everything that could have gone wrong in the last couple podcasts has.
Yep.
Now we're having an issue where, like, we record an hour or two and shit goes south. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I try to be a good computer guy.
Right.
I try to update my stuff.
Well, and that's the thing. Ever since you updated it, that's when it started acting weird.
It's always the update that screws you.
Right.
I've messed with memory allocation stuff, and we'll see.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Worst case scenario, I guess there's no episode this week. We get a break.
Yeah.
Not really a break since we've done all the work, but you know.
It'd be a shame though, yeah, because I think we got some great stuff.
We do.
So, welcome to the one and only podcast approved by Duncan, Idaho.
But I'm funny.
Wasn't it Dune? It was Dune Part 1.
Right.
That we were so surprised was on Max.
Yeah, it was on Max like the same day
it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it either. But it was also really cool because realistically, I wasn't going to go to the movie theater to watch it. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, yeah, I'll watch this since it's in my own room. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We watched Wonka on Max.
Lots of Tim Chalamet.
Earlier this week, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was actually really fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm so sick of the sequels and prequels and remakes and stuff like that.
Reimaginings.
Right. You know, but this one
except for Into the Spider-Verse. Amazing.
Right. That's different too. They're doing something so different than they've ever done before. You know, it's kind of like Barbie.
And across the... Yeah. You're right.
Like, realistically, there have been like 26 other Barbie movies. And then there's this one, right?
Straight to DVD.
Right. And they're all like based on different stories that are like normal fairy tales and stuff. And then they completely reimagined Barbie and made a story about her as an actual Barbie, you know? So it wasn't anything like the previous Barbie movies. And I kind of feel like Wonka wasn't quite to that level, but it was like around that level,
you know? And I'm...
as far as reimaginings go.
As far as reimaginings go, like, we're all into the multiverse now with Rick and Morty and Spider-Verse and Avengers Endgame.
Right.
Like, it's all about the multiverses now. And yeah, I could watch that stuff, I think, forever. Like, I've been a Peter Parker fan since the 80s.
Oh, sure.
And now I'm a Miles Morales fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like new shiny toys. I don't know. Now, I watched the Oscars. You haven't spent much time at my Mojo Dojo Casa house.
I've been so busy. Week. Yeah. You've
been busy. You had your thing. I had mine. Okay. So we watched Wonka together. And I also watched the Oscars presentation. It's on Hulu. Kimmel hosted. A lot of surprises.
And I'm so mad that I missed it, though, because I love watching the Oscars.
Gosling sang, I'm just Ken.
And I loved his little Gentlemen Prefer Blondes reference in there.
Did you see the clip? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito presenting an award because they were in the movie Twins.
Right.
And then they called out because they both played Batman villains in the classic Tim Burton 80s Batmans.
Yeah, I remember that.
DeVito the Penguin and Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze. And then they pointed to Michael Keaton in the audience, just badass.
That's hilarious.
Imagine getting credit for something you did 40 years ago.
Right.
But he deserves it.
Twins is kind of an underrated movie that I'd love to see again.
Yeah.
It's not that, okay, here's the thing. I'm saying underrated like it was a great movie. It was not, but it was a really fun movie. And it's something that definitely like stuck in my brain for a long time because it was one of the few VHSs that my granny had at her house. So anytime we'd go over there, we'd watch like that or Clueless or something like that. Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, I know. Back Brittany when he was Murphy. So cute. Oh, I know.
Alicia Silverstone.
I loved Brittany Murphy too. She was so good.
Rolling with the homies.
You know, I was actually, I was helping out at my friend's shop yesterday and her other friend was also there, Jamie, and she did the rolling with the homies thing. And I was like, whoa, dude, way to bring me back.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, point is that was super, like, that's a movie I want to see again.
And Keaton, you know, was a popcorn movie actor.
Right.
Certainly Birdman proved him as a serious actor. I think he was probably before then.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little FOMO. You know, right. I watched the Oscars and I'm like, I want to see some stuff. Mm-hmm. So we also watched Poor Things together.
Right.
With Emma Stone.
Which was a crazy movie.
Now we watched that and a lot of just up front, a lot of Emma Stone full frontal.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she's at the Oscars giving her acceptance speech and shouting out her 3-year-old daughter. And mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, she's a mom?
Yeah.
Like last time I remember, she was an easy A.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And
well, I mean, I remember her from La La Land, which she was so good in.
Yeah.
I love La La Land. One of my favorite movies. Just the best.
Yeah. Great.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize in retrospect, oh, I was looking at a mother in those scenes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's brave. I think she deserves everything she got for that.
I mean, it's a little less brave when you look like Emma Stone. You know, it's like, oh no, you look perfect. How terrible for you.
But you know that's got to be some work, man.
Oh yeah, of course. Like, but I mean, that's sort of part of her job. Yeah. Like if my job was to work out 8 hours a day, I would also look great.
if I had to get naked, and we're going to talk a little bit more about nakedness on stage or on camera later in this episode. Not what you think. But yeah, if that were my job, I would hate my life.
I don't think I could do it.
Like, I don't look good naked. I just don't.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen Oppenheimer, but you know what I did watch
without
you? I hope it's okay. Is because I know you get mad when I watch something.
Well, sometimes
that,
you watch really good stuff that I've been meaning to watch.
I watched Maestro.
I haven't heard of that one. Okay, never mind.
Okay, so I don't know who won what for what, but it had Bradley Cooper in it. Now, I only know Bradley Cooper from Rocket Raccoon and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And
I remember him from Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
he's
that was
that.
Right. And that was when J-Law, mm-hmm. I think Jennifer Lawrence went from
popcorn Katniss
movie. Yeah, from,
to an actual actress.
Yes, from Katniss to actress.
Yeah.
And Bradley Cooper was good in that as well. He was good.
He was
in the
also
one
in Wedding Crashers. Do you remember that?
Oh yes, he was. He was the douche, like
The douche fiance.
Yes.
Yeah.
What else was he in that was really like? The one with Lady Gaga.
A Star Is Born.
Yes.
Aha! I got
like
there.
The third or fourth remake of that film.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But this one, I think. And some might argue with me like, oh, no, the dude, that happened 2 or 3 movies ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is Maestro is the movie that took Bradley Cooper, in my mind anyway, from
pretty boy,
sexy pretty boy hangover. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
To serious actor. Mm-hmm. So he, not only did he have, I think, a prosthetic on his nose for the whole thing, but they also aged him.
Okay, kind of like Nicole Kidman in The Hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, or Charlize Theron, I think, in Monster. But did she have a prosthetic in that or just like makeup that made her look purposefully shitty? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one, actually.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's horrible and it's good.
Right, yeah.
But Maestro, like, it wasn't the movie I wanted to see.
Right.
But it was so good. It mostly dealt with his personal life. Now, I have a big thing for conductors.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I have a big thing for conductors is when you see that name you recognize, you know the arrangement and the tempo and everything else is going to be right on.
Right. As someone who knows no names of any conductors, I will take your word on that. Because realistically, like, I don't look at the conductor. I'm just like, oh, this is a song I want to hear. Great.
Well, you know Leonard Bernstein from REM, It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I know that
because
song.
That's one of two parts of the song where they break it down, and that's... And by the way, way before Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire, which I feel is a cheap ripoff of REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
Fair.
Leonard Bernstein was the conductor of the New York Philharmonic, and it was a freak accident, by the way.
Really?
You know, they say success comes when preparation meets opportunity.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that.
They called him one day and said, the conductor is sick. Can you cover? Uh-huh. And he was like, yep. And then he made headlines.
Wow.
And the rest is history. Of course, he did the score for West Side Story.
Yes.
Yeah. That was 20 years later.
And also, dude, West Side Story is a bad play. Like, it's just not good. The music is the only thing worthwhile in it.
Speaking of multiverses and reimaginings, though, it is a reimagining of...
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Which also is kind of not great, but at least it's better than West Side Story. Because really... Okay, I don't know if people realize this, but the entire plot of Romeo and Juliet takes place over like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
They see each other and they're like, fuck yeah, and decide to get married, like run away together, and then kill themselves over each other.
I think we've mentioned this before, but it's important to point out, and this isn't revisionist history. This is a peek into the past.
Oh, sure.
Love didn't used to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
It did not used to be a requisite for marriage.
Yeah, marriages were very much more of a business transaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was a cautionary tale against love, particularly teenage love.
Yes. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. They're like 13 and 15 in that.
Yeah.
Or like 14 or something.
Yeah.
They're so little. They're just babies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you see the Leonardo DiCaprio one, and they're like at least older teens. They're like 19, 18, somewhere in there.
That's the Romeo plus Juliet Baz Luhrmann.
Which is beautiful and
which
so well done.
I've never seen. Can we put that on the list? We got a couple to add to the list.
Yeah, you know what? That one we can watch this afternoon if you want.
But I'm big into conductors.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's Leonard Bernstein, conductor of the New York Phil, from the, I don't know, 30s to the
there's
70s.
There's a Phil in New York. He's got a guy following him around doing this with his arms.
I also love Arthur Fiedler from the Boston Pops.
Oh, okay.
Keith Lockhart from the Utah Symphony from like 98 to 08, who then went on to the Boston Pops.
You just like the Boston Pops,
big
maybe.
Fan, yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's Leopold Stokowski from Disney's Fantasia.
Okay.
You remember that?
That one, Apprentice. Actually does sound more familiar than any of the other names that you've spouted off.
There's Gustavo Dudamel, the hot long-haired dude from the L.A. Phil. So, yeah, there's, like, when you are searching... Okay, I don't know if you know this about me.
Can you imagine being a hot conductor, though? Because, like, if you think of a conductor, he's, like, balding at least in the back. He's a little guy. He's, like, usually really small and skinny and, like, old. And then he just, like, goes up and waves his arms around. Yeah. So being a hot conductor and walking out on the stage and having everyone go... It's probably weird.
Look up Gustavo Dudamel.
Yeah, okay.
He is the dude. He is... conductors have gotten a lot hotter.
Really?
And then there's André Rieu, and some people might argue, oh, he's just for pop. Yes, he is! And I love that!
That's cool. I like that.
And not only is he a conductor, but he is an arranger and a performer as well. So I'd put him in the pantheon of conductors.
Right.
Anyway, my review of Maestro, Leonard Bernstein was kind of a dog. Like... He only had multiple affairs with women, but also men.
Oh.
And it sort of
bisexual king.
Yeah. He sort of dived into that.
And
you know, his wife's feelings about that,
feelings.
Right. The impact it had on his kids.
Probably not very good either.
I wanted to watch a movie more like Amadeus or the Gary Oldman Beethoven Immortal Beloved.
Okay.
I wanted to learn more
about the process.
Yes.
Okay.
And it wasn't that, still a good movie, and boy, did it pow Bradley Cooper in my mind.
Okay.
One up, one up, one up.
All right, I can dig that. Now, do you know if he's the one who won Best Actor this time?
I don't know who won.
I know, we're so terrible.
I don't even know.
Good thing we're not a news source, we're just here for the jokes.
When Pacino introduced Best film. Like, he didn't do all the nominees. He just read the winner.
Hilarious.
Spoiler alert. When you
That's
watch,
so funny.
When you watch the Oscars on Hulu.
I feel like there's so much room for error at the Oscars, you know, because so much, it's oh, all yeah. live.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Hmm.
So, speaking of movies we need to put on our list.
Uh-huh.
And getting to our very first comment slash follow-up from Greg. What's up, Greg? Dude, so we were talking about Toxic Avenger last episode. Oh,
jeez. That trash fire.
Greg said, oh, you think that movie's bad? You need to watch Troll 2.
Trolls 2? Like,
not Trolls 2 World Tour.
Okay.
Although,
I mean, realistically, it's a cash grab. Come on.
Can we say? No, I loved... DreamWorks movies have this nasty habit of making the sequels better than the original,
okay,
starting with
so
Shrek
true.
25 years ago.
Shrek 2 was like actually the only good sequel that I've ever seen.
Shrek Forever After is amazing.
Yeah.
With the one that's the yeah. one with Rumpelstiltskin, uh-huh. right? Okay.
Yeah.
But Kung Fu Panda 4?
Okay, honestly,
need to
Kung
see
Fu
that?
Panda
that's
does
on
rock.
Our we got to put that on our list.
Yeah.
But
well, and I love that Pixar is sort or sorry, not Pixar, sorry, DreamWorks has sort of cemented itself as the anti-Disney. And you know that all started with Shrek.
Yes.
You know, like the whole reason that Shrek happened was because the people who founded DreamWorks left Disney and then they modeled Farquaad after the guy who took over at Disney. Because they'd worked together and they hated him.
Yeah.
And the whole thing they were going
Farquaad.
For.
You're such a Farquaad.
Right? And the whole thing they were going for was they said, okay, we're not going to make our protagonist attractive or cool or like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he lived in a swamp. He right. was fat. He was green. He had earwax.
He was a literal ogre.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, no, we're going to find the underdoggiest of underdogs of all the fairy tales. And that's our protagonist.
So,
and they did a great job. And not only that, but they didn't do any of their own music. They did, you know, different artists and yeah. just threw them in there.
Right.
You know, which is so different from Disney because every Disney movie is a animated musical, you know?
I wonder if Disney will one day buy Has-Been Hotel, whatever production I mean, company that falls under, because
realistically, eventually
that is so visually appealing.
Right now and, it's under A24.
Okay. And musically just
mm-hmm.
fabulous.
Right.
So, Greg told us about Troll 2.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there was a troll in 1986.
Okay.
And Troll 2 was meant to piggyback on the fame of the previous movie, even though it doesn't have trolls, it has goblins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, did the original troll have goblins or trolls? Or
I don't know. I think you trolls. Don't
know? Okay, which would make more sense.
But this is a movie we need to put on our list for the crew.
Okay.
When we all get together and have an MST3K style
okay,
roast uh-huh. of a movie, we've got to put this on our list.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, like we did with Love Never Dies.
With Love
the
Never
Phantom
Dies.
Of the Opera Phantom of the Opera sequel.
And what was the other one we sort of
What was roasted? That other one that we... Oh, it was the Toxic Avenger.
Okay. Yeah, Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
And along with that, we should probably put... what was it? Let's see. There was a movie called...
Oh, are you thinking of S. Darko? Because you were talking about how this one retconned the original one.
You know, I've never wasted my time on that, but I would.
Oh, we so should. When I was younger, I liked it better than Donnie Darko, which means that it's terrible.
Oh, your taste back then was just horrible.
Just shit. Absolute shit. And that's cool. It's fine. Like, I recognize it. But, like, looking back and thinking about the things, like, the elements of it that I do remember, I was like... I'm like, that was probably not a good movie. And the whole idea was that they were based on characters from Donnie Darko, but like it wasn't the same people
based
or anything.
Based on yeah, no Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like Samantha, it's his little sister when she grows up.
The movie I'm thinking of that I saw, it's on my radar, just never acted on it, is mm-hmm. The Room. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
And then James Franco
uh-huh.
made that movie about
The Disaster Artist.
Called it. Yes. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
So we ought to put Troll 2. Thanks, Greg. And The Disaster Artist. And maybe The Room.
I mean, I feel
on
like
our
we.
List of
here's
shit
the thing.
And
it's kind of like how we did The Toxic Avenger, where we did the musical and the movie. I think we Ooh. Have to do both.
Oh, yeah.
With The Disaster
In
Artist.
In one night.
Yeah, I think
I
so.
It. I jokingly said to Greg, I haven't seen Troll 2. Do I need to see Troll? To appreciate the sequel. And he's like, dude, it's not even a sequel. They only named it that to capitalize on the success of...
Funny. Okay. All right.
I'm a down. Movie 4 years earlier.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. That sounds fun.
In fact, it's such a bad movie that nearly 20 years after its release, the movie's child star Michael Stevenson made a documentary about its production and fan base titled The Best Worst Movie.
Oh, really? Now, is this the one where like they're shooting a scene and it goes from like daytime to nighttime?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what makes it so bad. We're going to have to find out.
I guess so. Oh, wait. Okay. I've heard of another bad movie, though. I think called like Planet B or something like that. So we might have to look that up and figure that one out, too.
We're putting so many movies on our list.
Right. I see that shirt over there. It looks just a little familiar.
It just says IFAF on it.
Right.
It has no other meaning. It certainly isn't made to look like... say, Doc and Marty or Rick and Morty logo at all. Right. There's no similarity or relation or copyright infringement whatsoever.
None.
On the shirt. None. None at all.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that we've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty lately. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's not available at TetonT-shirts.com.
Probably for good reason.
It's a one-off I printed just for myself, Greg Hale style.
Right. Until Eagle says that it's fine.
So two more follow-ups. Down Tempo Montage, love your username, on TikTok says, hey, why you shitting on Bear Glove? That stuff smells like Baja Blast and it works.
Oh. I mean, honestly, like, if I smelled a man and he smelled like Baja Blast, I'd be following him to the next Taco Bell.
That's it. Let's get a Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
That's a tall drink of water.
Right. Tall drink of soda.
I want to smell like Baja Blast, buddy.
I mean, honestly, that sounds great.
I might try that out. Thanks for the suggestion.
But also, you got to admit that name is stupid and makes no sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like, especially if it smells like Baja Blast, it's got to be like very coconut heavy.
What'd you say, dragon taint? Yeah. I almost want to put that into an AI image creator and see what I see.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not going to be good.
Show me dragon taint.
You know what? You'll probably get banned from that AI generator, too.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think you can use word taint in a...
I don't think you
can. In an AI generator.
Final follow-up. This is a painful one for me because I hate it when I'm wrong. Kevin Lussie decided to deus ex machina this Girl Scout cookie situation between ABC Bakers and Little Brownie Bakers.
Uh-huh.
He... So I owe you a mea culpa. What am I, just speaking Latin now?
Apparently. I don't know if... Here's the thing. All of the younger generation will have no idea what you're referencing.
Okay.
So on that note, carpe diem, kids.
Or carpe noctem if you're a goth.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Deus ex machina is a plot device used in Greek and later Roman theater where when there was an unsolvable problem in the play... A god from the machine, that's the literal translation,
uh-huh.
You know, came down and solved the problem.
Right.
Kevin has come down like a god and solved our problem. And mea culpa is just apology. Mm-hmm. What'd you say? Carpe diem is seize the day. Carpe noctem, seize the night. Veni, vidi, vici. We came, we saw, we conquered.
Right.
Gratis means you're doing it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, Kevin.
And then there's all kinds of numbers that we're not getting into because we are not a Latin learning podcast.
No. All right. So, Kevin. So, okay. Here's the real story. 2 years ago, the Silver Sage Council of the Girl Scouts, which covers all of Southeast Idaho and some of Nevada, some of Utah, they switched from Little Brownie Bakers to ABC Bakers.
What?
3 weeks ago, when I called my contact, who should have known, I said, what are we, ABC or Little Brownie? She said, oh, we're definitely Little Brownie. Always have been. We've always gotten Samoas here in East Idaho, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What I grew up on.
I'm not wrong.
Okay, wait.
Except starting a year ago, the Silver Sage Council signed a 4-year contract, come to find out.
Okay, that actually, I feel a little dumb now for just barely connecting these dots, but I do remember... when I saw Samoas and they were called Caramel Delights instead.
So, Kevin, I just got bad information, buddy. But I got it from a really reliable Girl Scouting source and didn't go to any stores. I did go to stores three times, three different stores to see the Girl Scouts on a weekend. and missed two of them. One of them was packing up outside Walmart.
Oh, yeah. So you don't want to be that guy.
Right. So anyway, Kevin just went click and solved our problem. And thank you. And look for soon to be coming a bonus mini-sode. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a full contrast and compare.
I love that.
And we're going to make you proud, Kev.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
So last week, hope you had a happy Pi Day, a happy Ides of March. So many memes with a knife through the salad, the Caesar salad dressing.
You know, which is so funny, and I love that.
Speaking of Latin, Ides basically means middle.
Right, yeah.
Middle of the month.
And then there's et tu, Brute, and you, Brutus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I didn't celebrate Pi Day this year, did you?
I didn't have any pie. I'm trying to cut down on the sugary carbs.
I know.
This Girl Scout episode is going to kill me, Kevin, and I'll do it with pleasure.
I love it, honestly. You know, there was one year in high school, I think my senior year, we celebrated Pi Day. Me and my friends went down to Pocatello to hang out with some college guys that we knew.
Hot.
And it was actually very innocent. Like, literally, it was a Pi Day celebration. We ate pie. Oh. But I was so nervous. And, like, I kind of...
Did you have the a la mode?
We didn't, actually. Now that I think about it, how dumb is that?
Ice cream me up, baby.
But I was so nervous that I kind of stuck to the guy that I'd gone there to see. Uh-huh. And I, like, was sort of just, like, rubbing his back the entire time. Maybe, like, for several hours.
Pie and rubbing his back for hours? That's not so innocent, where, Carly Morgan.
To the point where I'm pretty sure I like shredded his shirt a little. Like it probably wore out the threads because I remember later
did you looking have a fresh at my set? Nails,
looking at my nails and being like, why are they red underneath? And it was all fabric from his shirt because I was such a dork and I was so nervous about the whole thing.
Was it nervous rubbing?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about nervous rubbing. In the same segment, we're going to talk about nakedness on stage here in just a second.
Yeah. Anyway, it was... It was a really awkward time, and like looking back, I realized what a freaking dork I was. But anyway, you know who you are. Sorry about that. I was a dork of a kid who didn't know how to do anything.
Speaking of rubbing.
I didn't know how to socialize. Speaking of rubbing, is this really the transition you want to make?
Well, this isn't a transition. It's more of a sidebar or tangent.
I love it. Let's
but,
do it.
But have you noticed, like, if you're ever, like, I don't know, with a, I guess a, somebody you're dating,
right?
Like it's not
You're not like it's not a first date thing. Yeah,
and it's also not marriage.
Yeah,
some people. I actually had a woman say to me once. I was just sort of I thought I was rubbing her back in an affirming, isn't this great, watching a ball game sort of way. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Hey, Mike," and I said, "Yes." And she said, "You're at a 10. I need you to be at a 2."
You know what? Honestly, if he and I would have had better communication skills, I'm sure he would have said the same.
And I realized, oh, like she's saying I'm rubbing her back too hard.
Right.
Because I don't know. I like when I see an animal, I'm like, hey, buddy. Yeah. Scrub.
Yeah. Which you've had to really change because of my dog.
I have.
Because he won't do that.
And I think it's Rango, your chihuahua, who has taught me you can't go wrong with a 1.
Right.
You can go wrong with a 10. If you start at a 10, you're going to find out pretty quick. That's the rah, 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 rah. That's right. The wrong move.
Yeah.
But if you start at a 1, because I'm just a 10, we've talked about how I'm either maniacal or asleep.
Yeah. You're a bold person.
I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
It's just how I am.
Some folks would say that you're a big personality.
I don't want to be in therapy right now, but...
Right.
But, yeah. Okay, so you're rubbing his back.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure... I was doing it because I was just nervous, and I didn't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, right!
So I was just like, you know, rubbing his back. And I did that for, like, the whole 2 hours that we were down there and just shredded his shirt.
And I'm going to throw this out there. You didn't know what to do with your hands... And you didn't know that doing nothing was also an option.
I didn't. It felt wrong. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It's fine. I was young and very socially awkward and didn't know how to act in a.
I'm trying to find in my notes where the hell we
dating
are.
Dating situation like that.
Oh, Ides of March.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, because we talked about Pi Day.
Also, Disney on Ice Mickey's Search Party, I hear, was a lot of fun.
Yes, and my niece and nephew went to that, and apparently it was great. My mom later, so she took the kids to it, and she's like, man, you know, as soon as we finished, I was like, I should have invited Carly to that, because she would have loved it. And I was like, yeah, Of course I would have. What were you thinking in the first place?
But you were so busy. You had so many things going on last week.
Right. Well, and not only that too, but also she basically, she was like, well, you know, I just assumed it was going to be a kid show, you know, like Bluey Live or something that you wouldn't care about. But then it was like actually really well done.
And you are the woman who, when we went to Disneyland less than a year ago, bought special Disney outfits for your niece and nephew.
Yeah, because you, if you go to Disney as a kid, you have to wear a costume.
Yeah.
Like, you're missing out on things if you don't.
Never would have occurred to me. I mean, I took my kids and we just were shorts and tank tops, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay. Only because I know that the characters are walking around the park and I know that they'll, like, interact with you if you're dressed a certain way as if you're that character.
Yeah.
And I wanted the kids to have that experience.
Well.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful. Great idea.
I'm a good aunt.
I made a couple of... I gotta pat myself on the back or whatever. I made a couple of St. Patty's Day dishes.
Yes, you did.
Corned beef and cabbage. We had some last night. Amazing.
Right.
You had the stone ground mustard on yours. I had the horseradish on mine.
It was pretty good.
I made some brats, which were great. Yeah. And I love, by the way, this is a new piece of information. You said.
Right. So my family's traditional Irish meal that we make is Reubens on Sunday, which is what we're going to be eating later today.
Okay.
And we do honey mustard on ours, which I always thought was the way that you should do it, especially because it tastes delicious.
You're so honey mustard.
I am.
If you ever need to get a sauce for Carly, it's always honey mustard.
I love me a honey mustard. I just do. It's good.
The traditional for me is corned beef and cabbage.
Right.
And then you can do the potatoes and the carrots. I don't, because I'm protein and veggies right now.
Right.
I gotta be. It's been a long, cruel winter.
Right. Well, and you and I also...
Listen to that barrel chest slap. It's time to get rid of some of this.
Right. And you and I also made some shepherd's pie earlier this week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, St. Patty's was a lot of fun. We went to St. Patty's on Park. Here's the Celt. Look at that dapper gentleman in green. And later, in fact, at the end of the episode, we'll play all of the IFFD pipes and drums.
Right.
You know, the bagpipers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play their version of Scotland the Brave.
Very cool.
Isn't that, are Ireland and Scotland friends? Or is,
I mean, they're...
or are bagpipes primarily Scottish, but because we're so American, we just go, oh, it's those guys over there across the pond.
Okay.
England, Scotland, Ireland, what's the difference? Doesn't matter.
They do have some cultural similarities, and they're also very geographically close.
Yeah.
There are distinct differences between them. It's sort of like if you said north and south of the U.S. Like, there are definitely some very big distinct differences between the two, but there are also a lot of similarities as well.
Great analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Last
week, we talked about the Idaho Falls Farmers Market and how it goes every Saturday, May through October. They're on Memorial in between Broadway and the Roundabout. They're going an extra hour, so from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Which is so awesome. I'm so excited.
Also, they just released last week, they're going to still do the Wednesday nights in Ammon.
Oh, nice.
Instead of 6 to 9, they're going 5 to 9.
Oh, that's really nice.
You can stop by on your way home and get the bread and the cheese and the meat and the herbs for dinner on a Wednesday night.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because like last year I was working retail, so I couldn't do Saturdays because I was always working. So it's nice for folks to have the option. You know, now I'm working mostly weekdays, but also I still have Wednesday evenings free, so be prepared.
Happening in McCowan Park. So yeah, I just love that they're expanding. I really do love supporting local and just kind of, you know, I mean, I love moving my body, just going out and walking. It's nice and easy and seeing what there is to see.
I like to see and be seen.
Yes, you love to see NBC.
Yeah.
Our buddy Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah.
Remington Steel. 007. GoldenEye. N64.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've got that at home.
Yeah, we need to play.
Yeah, we do.
You remember that in January, he was cited for straying off the path in Yellowstone. Oh, no. If I were the judge, I'd be like, bro, you know you fucked up. Yeah. Okay, cool.
No, that's the thing, though.
We good, fam.
Okay, think of all of the men who've modeled their lives after 007. Do you know how many people will try to introduce their last name first and then their first name just because that's how James Bond does it? Okay? That's the thing. You have to make an example of him because he's so in the public eye.
For straying off the path, fine $500, and then also ordered to make...
Which isn't anything for Pierce Brosnan. Like, come on.
$1,000 donation to Yellowstone Forever, a nonprofit organization that supports the park. Mm-hmm. He's got to do that by April 1st.
Which also, realistically, he, as a good PR move, should have doubled it and then done it.
Well, he kind of did do a good PR thing. He posted, hey, as an environmentalist, I have the utmost respect for and love of our natural world. I deeply regret my transgression and offer my heartfelt apologies to all for trespassing in this sensitive area. Hashtag stay on the path.
Right, which is great.
Maybe that was court ordered too. I don't know, but classy move.
Yeah, and also...
And Pierce, money. We love you, and you can do whatever you want. Even go pet a bison.
Okay, I do love Pierce Brosnan. Don't get me wrong if you ever see this, which you won't, but if you ever do,
yeah.
I do love you, Pierce.
He doesn't. And also... He doesn't waste his days searching his name on...
And also, all I'm saying is, you know, if you need a new PR person who will make you actually look good, you know, because whoever is currently managing you isn't doing their best job, just saying, sweetheart...
He can do no wrong in my eyes.
I mean, yeah.
Pierce, you can do whatever you want. In fact, okay, look, and let's be real. $1,500. That's like
for him, nothing.
That's like 15 cents. That's pocket change. He'll never miss.
Yeah. He's probably spent that on a night out.
You've heard right, like I saw a screenshot of a tweet on Pinterest. I don't know.
Right.
From somebody who said, you know, I dated a man who was wealthy. And he didn't view the world in terms of right and wrong.
Right.
He viewed the world in terms of how much it would cost him.
Right.
So when he would park in front of my New York townhome illegally, he'd be like, oh, yeah, it's just a $150 fine.
Right. He's like, it's not that it's illegal. It's that it costs me $150 to park here.
Right. I'm sure Pierce feels bad for transgressing on national park land.
Right.
But come on. Okay, speaking of which, how long is it going to be? Because it's warming up. Last snowstorm of the season kind of happened. Might have a few flurries here and there.
I hope not. I really need it to be warm for Easter. I don't want to be freezing my tail off while I'm trying to look for Easter eggs.
Yeah. Highs in the 50s this week, maybe hit 60. I wonder how long it's going to be before we see the first Yellowstone tourist gored by a bison.
And you know what? That's the thing. Probably not too long. And I do get it. Because they really do look super cute and cuddly and fluffy. Like, they look like they feel like a sheep, you know, which I love to pet when we go to the fair.
Until you realize they're bigger than your car.
Oh, they're massive. But, I mean, so are cows. And cows are cute with their big, long eyelashes and their little black and white spots. They're just cute, you know? And they just look like wild cows.
Or some 20-year-old frat Chad boy, you know, falling into a hot pot and being instantly dissolved into a nice Chad tea.
Which is terrible.
It's going to happen, and it's sad.
That's the thing. It doesn't need to happen if people would just read the signs and not be dumb.
It's not a zoo.
It's not.
It's a national park. Okay. Next up, what the hell's this?
That's super cool, by the way.
This is called a goldback. When we were at the Snake River Animal Shelter Fur Ball a couple weeks ago, met a guy named Abram. And he's an investor in this company, so, you know, consider the source.
Right,
He's selling you on this stuff. But I thought this was an interesting idea. This is 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold that I'm holding in my hand. It's currently about $4 or $5 worth of gold. But it's, I don't know, laminated, and it's got a heck of a design on it.
It's real gold, too.
It's real gold.
You could literally take that, melt it down, and it would be gold.
If you had 1,000 of these... Yeah, you'd melt it down to an ounce of gold. Interesting, isn't it?
Right.
This is an interesting currency. And by the way, it's not U.S. legal tender, but it is technically a negotiable instrument, shall we say?
Yeah.
So,
which, I mean, to be fair, even like a chicken could be a negotiable instrument.
Exactly.
You know, like if there's someone who...
An egg, a shell, a stone.
Yeah, yeah. Like
it has value because we agree it has value.
Right.
But, you know, I know a couple preppers. A couple of them are close to me in my life. I don't agree with the philosophy that the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
To our point we made last week, the world's always been going to hell in a handbasket. Mm-hmm. But this fascinates me because it's the opposite of crypto.
Right.
Which is based on the same premise.
Exactly.
Crypto only has value because we say it has value.
The only difference is that with crypto, you don't have anything physical.
It can evaporate.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat, whereas you're left with 1/1000th of an ounce of this. Goldback.com.
And gold can be used for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Outside of just jewelry. Like, it's put in electronics all the time.
Yes.
There are actual valuable reasons to have and use gold.
There's a theory that the only reason we exist on this earth mm-hmm. is because we were planted here by aliens to mine gold.
Hilarious.
It's a great conductor. It's used in visors. Like by spacemen, by NASA, like, yeah, right. It's got several purposes.
It would kind of make sense too. Cause like, you know, we are kind of hardwired to be like, ooh, shiny thing, pretty. I want shiny thing. Yes. I'm going to get shiny thing.
Why is that?
Like, isn't that neat?
I'm just saying.
I mean, either that or it's just cause shiny thing is pretty.
Anyway, goldback.com. It's already approved and in use in Utah. Mm-hmm. There are some stores that have a goldback machine that they'll take this currency.
Wild.
So
that's
yeah,
cool,
it's
though.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool mm-hmm. idea. Just throwing that on your radar if you're interested in that kind of stuff. This is something I think if it comes to The Walking Dead,
right?
You know,
okay, but also,
you can negotiate with.
Hear me out though. If it comes to The Walking Dead, gold will no longer have a value. We don't need gold to do anything at that point. What we need are food and ammo.
Well, yeah. Again, to the point that it is worth what people say it's worth.
Right. Realistically, if we were in a Walking Dead type situation, people don't have the room in their backpacks to be carrying around gold backs.
Well, okay, I agree, and I just want to say these are super thin.
Sure.
And if I had 1,000 of them, they probably wouldn't be that heavy.
They wouldn't be too bad. That's
and the,
true.
The one thing they say on their website is this solves the problem of negotiating, you know, purchasing something with something of value.
You're right.
At smaller increments than, say, having a gold coin or a gold bar.
Which is brilliant. I'm just saying, in that very specific scenario that you're talking about, I don't think people will care about gold anymore because really what they'll care about is food and ammo, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and baseball bats with barbed wire wrapped around them.
And red scarves, for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like a really bitchin' leather jacket. That's about it. You know, so if you got a really bitchin' leather jacket, hang on to that because that's really what you're going to need to barter with.
Want to mention, if you're a crafter, and you kind of are...
When I have time, I love to be crafty.
You certainly have all the supplies. You've got like the glue gun.
Oh, yeah.
And the sponge paper that you cut out for things.
Yeah. I've
and
got
the ribbons.
Not just regular hot glue. I've got hot glitter glue.
Yeah.
I've got like the good stuff.
Carly's got all the stuff.
Yeah.
This might interest you. Spring Fling Craft Fair by Me and You Events, March 23rd, 10 to 4, Snake River Convention Center. At the Shiloh Inn on Lindsay.
Oh, rad. I like that.
Yeah.
See that y'all. Does sound fun. Well, and also, there's some really crafty people around here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's because we have a really heavy Mormon population, and they can't do, like, the regular cool people stuff, like drinking and smoking, so instead they craft, you know?
All the St. Patrick's Day stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. But, yeah, there are some people around here who make some really incredible stuff. Like,
yeah.
That Cooking with Kent kid that makes those incredible macarons, and he's like, what, 10 now?
Yeah.
He's just young, and he's already, like, got his own little business.
Yeah, it's like the Seinfeld episode where George doesn't have sex for, like, a month or whatever and becomes really smart. Like, when you don't have your vices,
right?
You can really get things accomplished.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Well, you know, and speaking of vices, isn't there kind of an interesting play coming to town?
Yes, there is. So glad you brought this up. And before we even mention what it is, I want to say this is the perfect thing for our show to promote, and here's why. Radio ain't going to talk. Neil and Julie, you're not going to hear this from them.
Right.
Local News 8, you ain't going to hear it from them. That one other red news website, that they won't touch this.
No.
We will. Because
Yeah.
It's about vibrators.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Zzz, you know, the buzzy buzz, the toy, the thing under your pillow, the thing in your nightstand, the thing you tell your babysitter not to go near your nightstand for this reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Even hide it between, you're not fooling anybody, the mattress and the box spring.
Uh-huh. You know, they really need to make some kind of like really good. First off, they should have bed frames with like built-in hidden alcoves.
They should.
Like, that'd be a great idea. The fact that that's not already a thing, at least for like queen size mattresses and up,
I wonder
is kind of dumb.
I wonder if they tackle, because that's a big part of what I understand vibrator culture to be, is where you hide it.
Yeah, yeah.
In a shoe, in your underwear drawer. Personally, I don't know. I don't own a vibrator.
Right.
But,
you know, though, that makes sense to put it in like an underwear drawer or something. Cause then, like, let's say, for example, you are stranded somewhere and you need an important document and it happens to be in the same drawer as your vibrator. You've already messed up. You did done goof, kid. Yeah. You know, like, there's nothing you can do at that point to make things not awkward for whoever you've decided to call. Cause it's gotta be someone close to you. You can't call your parents now. You know, like, it's got to be a good buddy or a lover, and that's it.
Let's say what this is first before we keep going on vibrators.
Right.
It's called In the Next Room or The Vibrator Play by Sarah Rule, put on by Artie.
Which is at the Phoenix over on Broadway.
Right next to
the Artitorium.
Thank you. And sponsored by, can we just say, a bunch of other people, and Grand Teton Gastroenterology.
Ha, funny. I wonder if they have a little part before the play where they're like, hey, don't put this in your butt.
Yeah. If you talk to any gastroenterologist and ask them what they do, they will probably say, I do butts and guts.
Yeah.
And so thank you for sponsoring that. Also, also sponsored by Eagle Rock Indian Motorcycles.
Oh.
AKA the largest vibrators in the world, as I understand it.
Do you remember that 70s show episode where Red wants to get a motorcycle and Kitty is so against it? And then he takes her out for a ride on it. And she's like, we have to have this.
Well, and I mean, let's face it. We're all humans. We all have needs. Mm-hmm. We all like relief from time to time.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me. So electricity came around late 1800s.
Right.
And the vibrators followed shortly after. And I believe I have my facts straight when I say that the inventor of the vibrator was a doctor who got so tired of female patients coming into his office and needing to be relieved.
Well, treated for hysteria was the premise.
Right. You're hysterical.
Right.
Yeah.
Which also kind of hilarious. It's like, bitch, you are so stressed out. You need to just like come for a second and you'll be fine.
Right.
And also, like, not totally wrong.
I mean, there is some truth to post nut clarity.
Yeah.
If we're talking about this, and I guess we are because of this play, which I guess is about, I don't know even when it takes place, but geez, it has partial nudity in it. I wonder what that is.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued.
Probably don't demonstrate it on stage, but.
Like, I'm guessing we're going to see a butt.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's my guess.
This sounds interesting, though. Do you want to go?
Oh, of course,
I'm first oddly off, curious about this.
I actually really love the Phoenix.
And I love that it's happening in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Right. Okay, so the Phoenix is a really cool place because they do a lot of irreverent plays in general. And they're catered by the Bee's Knees, which, if you know, they're the Bee's Knees. It's they're good really stuff. Good. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's a great option. I would absolutely love to go. We actually have gone to a couple of their plays in the past, and we've always had a great time.
It's March 22nd through April 13th. Tickets at artidaho.org, not .com. Hey, little note, Art Idaho. Maybe tell your graphic designer it's not .com. It's .org.
And we only give notes to places that we love, so coming from a place of love.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But it takes place in Victorian era, hysterical patient, doctor, marriage truly means to love someone.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like one of the, like we talked about.
That actually sounds kind
of nice. Yeah. With the teenage summer mischief movies, it sounds like it deals with a body topic, but has a sweet, sensitive message.
Yeah. That's
like American Pie. Or Porky's. Still never seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we need to add that to the list too. We need to
add that to our list of Troll 2.
Yeah.
The Room. The Disaster Artist.
Romeo plus Juliet.
And Porky's.
There we go. Now we can reference this later when we are like, hey, what should we watch tonight?
I listened to an old episode of ours.
Uh-huh.
Just for fun.
Right.
And it happened to be the one where I promised to try lobster one day.
Right.
So let's keep that on our back burner,
too. You know, we'll make a whole weekend of it, okay? We'll do nothing but movies, because you'll probably be, like, running back and forth from the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have lobster. We'll start the weekend off with lobster.
Yeah.
And then just watch movies the whole weekend.
Yeah.
We'll recuse ourselves.
It'll we'll have great. Our vibrators with us. It'll be fantastic. Just a great time.
Which, speaking of recusing ourselves, that reminds me, I actually got a jury summons today.
You did?
I did. And the funny thing is, I've actually gotten a jury summons once before, mm-hmm. and I had to call in and defer it, and I was so disappointed. Because I actually would really love to be on a jury, because I am kind of a true crime girly, you know?
Let's hope it's nothing like the James Marsden jury duty. Streaming now on Prime,
right.
Episode 5.
Right, right. But I would love to be on a jury duty, and I had to not go last time because it was right during the finals of my college year. And so there was no way I could defer all of those finals for jury duty. So I'd be like, I can't go this time. Sorry, guys. My mom said no. You know? Right. And so I'm really excited for this time, and I'm kind of hoping I get selected because I've always wanted to be on a jury.
Well, it's been a fantastic show. It was a much better one last night, we promise.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Technology sucks. We think we've solved the problem. We might actually have to get redundant gear.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. You know what? If any tech bros have any suggestions of what kind of cameras or systems would work better, let us know. We'd love to talk to you.
I'm pretty sure we've got a decent setup, but it's...
Here's the thing. We've got a great setup.
It's failed just on us the last couple times. Yeah. Very frustrating.
Very.
But you know what? We do it for you, Kermie. Yeah. We really do value and treasure you as a listener / viewer, however you're consuming this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so grateful. We see our numbers growing,
right.
And it just lifts our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we feel like we're the Shrek. We're the DreamWorks Shrek to Disney Pixar.
Yeah.
And we thank you for being on this ride with us.
Right. Well, and you know, it's so funny that you say it like that, because I think that it's so neat how we've moved from traditional media to basically like YouTube, and to the point where like people talk different now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is an observation. Your mom and your aunt are both teachers at a school.
Uh-huh.
And they...
Well, no, that's not totally true. My mom's a counselor. My aunt's a teacher.
Okay. But they work at a school.
Yeah.
And they've noticed a trend where, okay, and we're just finding this out. Mm-hmm. Being brand new to YouTube in terms of content creators, mm-hmm. we're finding out you can't say everything you want.
No.
You can't even say what you would say to a friend in a car on the way to a thing.
Well, and that's the thing. Even things that are totally innocent, you have to sort of, you know, reimagine and censor, because it can so easily get you nerfed by the algorithm.
Yeah, either nerfed or banned or mm-hmm. demonetized, and we're not even monetized yet, so that's right. not an issue for us.
We're working on it, though.
But yeah, you can't say rape, murder, or even anything about politics.
Right. We're going to have to bleep all of that.
We are. And, like, so YouTubers are now saying things like, instead of suicide,
mm-hmm.
they're saying unalived himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so now kids are wandering through the halls of school saying, oh my God, a test. I can't believe it. I would rather unalive myself.
Right, because that's the media that they're consuming.
Now, if you've studied the dictionary and the English language like I have over the mm-hmm. years and been fascinated by the annual Merriam-Webster list of words they've added this year,
uh-huh.
Like crunk, I think yes. is the last one I remember 10 years ago.
Funny.
But you know that we, the people, control the English language.
Oh, yeah.
And if
yeah.
we use it, it goes in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a word, and it ain't. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it is. And that's what we do.
I remember when people were outraged by the fact that selfie was put in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Selfie stick.
Yeah. Which, like, sorry, dude, but it's part of our common vernacular right now, and it's something that's important for people to be able to understand and define, so that when selfies are no longer a thing, they can come back and understand what we were talking about.
So who controls what goes on YouTube? Hint, it ain't YouTube. It's the advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's YouTube in order to attract the advertisers.
Right.
So I just want to make the point that, thank you for bringing this up, mm-hmm. isn't it funny that advertisers are controlling the content that YouTube allows on their site to the point where kids in schoolway hallways now are speaking differently.
Right, right.
Unalived. Like
it's so funny.
Crazy.
Well, and it's so funny to think that obviously we know what the person is saying and they're speaking in code, but instead of translating that code in our day-to-day, we continue to speak in code.
So will this get me banned from YouTube? Kill me now.
Yes, it will. Not banned, but like this video will be nerfed if you do that.
Redonkulous.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Also not a word. Or is it?
Well, and it's so funny too, because there have been a couple of times when I've said, hey, I don't know if you want to say it like that because YouTube's going to nerf it.
Yeah.
And then we said it like that anyway and it nerfed it.
Carly's right. I'm wrong. Always.
In sometimes. Yeah. Now, that's the thing though, because I love true crime. That's one of my favorite topics to watch, especially on YouTube, and I've seen how they talk about it, and they've specifically said things like, I have to say it like this because of YouTube, and I can't, like, but you know what I'm saying, but I'm gonna say SA instead of the other thing.
SA or SV, DV.
Exactly.
Yeah, DA, domestic assault.
Yeah, right.
Really? You had to mute that? Okay.
But that's the thing, like, I learned that pretty quick because of the content that I was consuming.
Right.
You know?
It's distracting to me when...
Oh, yeah.
You know I'm a free speech advocate anyway, but also as an adult, when I'm trying to consume content and they bleep a word out, I don't know what you just said.
And I will say, at least we're not doing that heinous bleep like we used to. It's just silent.
Yeah, just mute it.
Yeah. Like back in the day, I remember they'd do eh on the TV and it was so annoying. And then they just started cutting it.
It draws attention.
Exactly.
Like rap lyrics on the radio now, if they get a little too rowdy, they just put a beat there.
Right. You
know?
Right.
Let's be, I don't know.
It's smarter.
I know it's one world and it's for children and adults. We're mostly for adults.
Right.
You've got your big boy panties on right now if you're listening to us. Okay. We're going to leave you with this. It was a great time. St. Patty's on Park.
Yeah, it was actually really well done. I was very impressed.
We're going to leave you with a few minutes of Scotland the Brave.
And also, how brilliant to put it on Park Street with the Celt on it.
Right in front of the Celt.
Yeah, that's kind of like Bar Alley, too. Like, it's got all kinds of bars there.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great location for the event.
That's true.
And I was a little bummed that people didn't go and explore a little bit more, because I was working on A Street the entire day helping out my friend, and we didn't get hardly anyone from that.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I was kind of bummed.
I wonder if a majority of Idaho Falls people are like, nah, it's too crowded. I don't want to deal with the crowds.
Which I'm usually kind of like that.
We parked 3 blocks away just to be conservative. We probably could have parked a block away now that I think about it.
Sure.
But yeah, the party on a Friday and Saturday night, especially in the summer, is in between A Street and Broadway on Park, downtown Idaho Falls.
Right, yeah. For sure.
And it certainly was on St. Patty's Day with the Idaho Falls Fire Department, pipes and drums, bagpipers.
And they put on such a great performance, by the way. And they like rolled up, put some brats on the grill too, which smelled so good.
Sold some t-shirts for merch.
Right, yeah. Right. I watched them like pull these cardboard boxes full of like ketchup and mustard out. And I was like, what's up with that? And then I see the grill and I smell that food. And I was like, okay, actually, I love food. I'm a very food-centric person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did such a great job. And on top of that, they played amazingly. And that is why IFFD, you guys are our IFAF this week. Chris, high five.
21 finger gun salute. And chef's kiss to you. Fantastic. We'll leave you with Scotland the Brave. Enjoy.